Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome along. It's the season of the sack, and not in a nice Santa Claus kind of way, but in a your team will literally never ever score a goal as long as we all live kind of way, or a point of proper manager that I've heard of kind of way. Xabi Alonso has not been sacked. So definitely not sacked. And that's because we know for certain now what Alonso Ball is. Mbappe dribbles past people and scores. Courtois makes brilliant saves. So when the other team have the ball, everybody jogs around a bit. They beat Alaves and pulled 4 points clear of third place Villarreal, who didn't play this weekend because it rained. Barcelona kept an actual clean sheet as they beat Osasuna. The most difficulties they've had this week was in the Negreira court hearings, in which they've explained they played a referee chief millions of euros for advice that was never shown to any coaches. I suppose given the club's attitude to money in that period, it actually sort of makes sense that they could have been that wasteful. We'll have a look at the rest of La Liga, including the old blokes keeping Atleti in the title race. Vamos for the old blokes. And the latest foreigner to lose his surname. And an old club, non-celeb, part-celeb. Well, it was a good goal, so you sort of got to forgive me kind of way. Copa del Rey's tonight. So by the time you get this, non-Patreons get this, the Copa del Rey games could be on. They're on Premier Sports if you're in UK and Ireland. Oh, well, there's a couple of the games. So the Barcelona game is tonight. Patrons get it earlier. They don't get music, but then they can listen to the main one for free with music. So there we are. So become a Patreon. Right. Terry Gibson is back from his latest travels refreshed. No cold, Terry. You sound healthier. That's good.
Yep, a little bit. Yep.
Yes. Right. Where do we start? Should we start with the sackings? Actually, let's not start with the big two. So, where are we going for these sackings? Let's go to Oviedo first, shall we? Well, you lose 4-0 to Sevilla. You're going to get sacked, aren't you? So Luis Carrion, inglorious reign. No wins in 8 games. Didn't score in the last 6 games. Scored in one of his games. I mean, come on. And he wasn't the guy who got them up. So it's not like they've already sacked him. So it's not like it's one of these really harsh ones where a guy gets a team up and gets sacked. That's already happened. Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, I went out on a limb and said they're probably going to go through 3 managers, maybe 4. Yeah. Because, I mean, Paunovic shouldn't have got sacked. It was simple as that. They were competitive, yet they had one or two issues. I think it's like 13 new players signed, 13 players left the club, massive overhaul. They weren't getting thrashed. They were competitive. Scoring goals was an issue even back then. They've scored 7, and Carrion hasn't scored any of them, has he? I don't think.
They won Girona game. They got 3 in that one game. Yeah. Insanely. Yeah.
I think they've only scored in 4 games, and now we've played 16.
Yeah.
So it's a tough gig. It's just Luis Carrion's record. He got sacked last season for Las Palmas, and they didn't win a game. Mm. And that's the only 2 jobs he's had in the top flight. So I think it's something like 18 games, no wins. Mm. And that's his top flight managerial career. Previously manager of Oviedo, didn't take them up. It was a strange decision to sack the manager so early on. Mm. And it's an understandable decision after the performance at the weekend. No Santa Cazorla, no Fede Vinas, who were both suspended. They were rolled over comfortably by a team that don't score. Sevilla, they scored 4 past Barcelona. They've scored 4 against Oviedo. So most games they don't score, and then when they do, they get a bucket ball.
Spread them out, lads.
Yeah, and that's so Sevilla looks like title contenders against Oviedo, and they're not. So it probably was like the other sacking that we're probably going to talk about. It's not in isolation a sackable offence. It's the final straw, I think, for Oviedo, and they've made the change. It was the final straw for the other manager, Real Sociedad, as well, the performance. I think you need that one really desperate performance, don't you, as a board, as a president, when you
makes it easy for the board. There are certain results, then you think that now as the chairman, whatever, president, whatever, sporting director, whoever sacks someone, you sort of think, yeah, that's it. I can go now, that's it.
Yeah.
It's like the trigger point for a press, isn't it? It's exactly. Like, that's it, go. Yeah.
Yeah. And to succumb to defeat so easy at Sevilla. And Sevilla are struggling for goals, struggling for points themselves. So it's, I mean, Sevilla have gone up to ninth with 20 points all of a sudden. So it, but before that, prior to that, decent draw at Valencia the week before, but they've struggled to get wins. And they are struggling to get wins. So to lose so comfortably, it probably was the clearly the result that pushed him over the edge. Now, who do they pick now?
Where are they going, Oviedo? You said a name. I can't remember.
Yes,
I found
Guillermo Almada, a Uruguayan, never managed in Spain until this season. He was manager of Valladolid, appointed this season, won six wins in 17 games, I think, this season, the Segunda. They've gone for him. He's announced his resignation. He wants to leave Valladolid immediately. I think they've let him leave, but they're not letting him leave for free.
Kind of
the first time, actually, in a while, a loophole that you forget that you can't manage twice in the same division in Spain, but you can manage a second division team and then manage a La Liga team. We know full well you can't manage two teams in La Liga in the same season, but this is different. It's a little loophole. So he said he wants to leave. Why is he not to go? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah, I wouldn't describe it as a loophole. I would say it's normal, isn't it, that you should be allowed to get a manager from another club? It didn't seem that weird to me.
Yeah. I wasn't aware that they can plunder the second division.
Yeah,
the manager to go to the La Liga. I know that you can't have two. You can't go get another manager who's managed in La Liga that season.
Yeah.
So that's the man they're looking for, and I understand why Valladolid, despite him not making an immediate impact at the club, I do understand why they've got the ump that he wants to walk out and join Oviedo, and they've given him a contract and he just wants to clear off. So that's not resolved. Whether it's going to be resolved, probably will be. Oviedo would probably have to pay something for him.
Yeah.
But even that seems bizarre that you times are desperate. You could do with someone who knows the league, knows the players, as opposed to a manager that's only been in Spain for 6 months. And as I say, not been particularly successful. Valladolid are mid-table. 6 wins so far in 18 games isn't particularly fantastic. He's got previous. He's been manager in Mexico and stuff like that. But it's a strange choice for Oviedo.
Yeah.
So that's the manager they're going for. Whether they get him, they probably will. And that will happen pretty soon, I would imagine.
I discovered something when looking up what had happened at Real Oviedo this weekend. You know, when they sold shares some years ago to sort of save the club, who bought one? He's now famous. Just won the mayoral election in New York, Zoran Mamdani. He bought shares in Real Oviedo. Really? All right, fair enough. There we are. Has no consequence. I'm sure he's not going to sort of invite them to New York or anything. But anyway. So we've done that. Real Sociedad 1, Girona 2. I mean, you could have sacked either manager of these two, couldn't you? But Sergio Francisco, who has gone. And he hadn't been in charge of the first team for long. He had obviously been at the club. So harsh, not harsh. Was it a mistake to promote? I was underwhelmed. I thought it looked like a club after Alguacil had gone, after all that time. It looked like a club that sort of sometimes you need a fresh voice, someone from outside. Yeah. A bit of groupthink sort of sets in, doesn't it? And a bit of freshness is a good thing, I think.
Yes, I agree. I thought that at the time. I thought it got a little bit stale under Alguacil, and I thought it did need a reset. But they chose to, which I kind of get if that's where they think the way the club is progressing. There's been good progression in the last 5 years. But in the last season and this season, it has gone stale. So it does need a fresh face, someone with new ideas. They've got a very good squad of players. They were okay in the first half in this game. There wasn't any sign that this could be his last game. They were 1-0 up, Gonzalo Guedes with a goal. They were playing okay, but the second half performance, it was so dismal. And I've got to say, I got thoroughly depressed watching this match because I was watching a Girona team who were fighting for their lives. They're 18th still, 15 points, and they're in a relegation battle. I keep saying they've got really good players and they shouldn't be anywhere near relegation. I'm not suggesting they should be challenging for Europe again, but they should be. They should be in a relegation battle, but they are. So Genkov scores two world, fantastic goals, two worldies. The celebration from the Girona players was bizarre. It was like I was sort of checked halfway through. Is this a pre-season friendly?
Mm.
There was no celebration. Now, I'm all for a little bit more. I don't like the choreographed celebrations and all that, but I get it. It does show joy when you score a goal and stuff like that. Sometimes it can go over the top. But the there should be an emotion when you score a goal. But it wasn't.
Mm.
Sagankov had a couple of little planned celebrations, but a few players come over and shook his hand and they sort of trudged back to the halfway line. And you're thinking, is he offside? Are they expecting this to be disallowed?
Mm.
So it was bizarre. And the performance of Real Sociedad, Igor Zubeldia came after the game, said nothing to do with the manager. We were a disgrace. We were this, we were that. We didn't play with any urgency and enthusiasm and desire. And that was the reason in that second half, the Bulls must have looked at it and thought, well, don't score goals. We're not winning games. And now the players look like they've had enough of the manager. It was that clear. And I'm not surprised at all. After the game, pretty soon after it was announced, well, it was speculated first. And then, of course, you know it's going to happen. So it's interesting to see I think I know what they're going to do. And again, I think Real Sociedad, they won't get relegated. But it's an interesting choice that they've gone for.
They've gone.
His name's Pellegrino Matarazzo. He's an American that's been a lower division player in Germany. Managed Stuttgart, managed Hoffenheim. Was Julian Nagelsmann's assistant coach for a while at clubs. Partnered up with him on a coaching course in Germany. And they become roommates and friends and worked together along the way. Again, it's not as much of a risk as, say, Oviedo and their choice and maybe Levante's choice as well, because they're firmly in a relegation battle. Real Sociedad are just above it. So it looks like this is the guy they've gone for. He's out of work, so there's no issues with the club. It does appear that it's that he is going to be the chosen manager for Real Sociedad. So there is fresh ideas, someone new. They've got good players. They should be doing far better. But it looks stale last year, and it hasn't changed this season. So I think it was a calculated gamble given a manager, but they were probably comforted in the fact that it works with Alguacil. He hadn't been a manager before, and we promoted from within, and it worked, so we can do it again. So I kind of get why the temptation was there, and now they've clearly thought, no, this needs someone and completely different to shake things up. That's what it needs at Real Sociedad. Good players that cruising through life at the moment. And the other worrying sign was it was a Friday night game. Stadium with so many empty spaces. So I think there is that was another sort of sign to the boards that we need to do something. Mm. And if they won the game at half time, they were in great shape, playing okay, in control of the game. But the second half performance was one of those where you're probably thinking the manager is definitely a risk here, and the ground was three quarters full, if that.
Right. So who's not been sacked this weekend? Xabi Alonso.
We still went for Levante as well.
They didn't play, did they, Levante? Did it rain badly in the end?
I don't know. It's the second time it's happened, and I get it. We had that terrible tragedy in that region. So and there was a game called off. I'm not sure if it was this season or last season. Villarreal had a game called off, and the storms didn't happen.
Yeah.
And Levante is a similar situation. Error on the side of caution, and the game was postponed on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess that it's obviously a big emotional thing if you've had that devastating impact of the floods, but on a forecast it seems odd, doesn't it? But there we are.
Yeah, I must admit I didn't check to see if it.
I don't have a solution. I haven't seen any news report. Anyway, we'll see. Let me know if I'm wrong, anyone.
But they haven't got a manager. Luis Garcia Plaza is the one that's. Yeah. Heavily linked with that job. We'll do it quick. He's not out. If that's the man, he's not in work, and At the moment, they've got Alberto Del Moral and Vicente Ibora that took the game on Monday against Osasuna last week. So, in a way, having that.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
Game postpones probably helps. They can get the manager in. It's another game that the manager would have to play. But they need to act quickly if it is going to be Luis Garcia Plaza.
Yeah. Okay. Xabi Alonso has not been sacked.
Yes.
Check your phone again, Terry, just in case. because we saw the wonders of Alonso ball or Xabi ball. I don't know what we're going to call it. They won, basically, is why he hasn't been sacked. Simple as that. Because, to be fair, Vinny and Rodrigo, you know, we've been saying that they have to deliver a bit. They delivered the winning goal. But Mbappe scores. How many
times? That time he delivered, isn't it, Mbappe?
Yeah, what's he done? So Mbappe scores a lovely goal. They get done on the break for a goal, for an equalising goal. Courtois made a brilliant save just before half-time. Anyway, so he just reacts and it smacks him in the face, but it's still a super save, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's this whole thing that we've discussed before. Where are we now? December the 16th. What are they trying to do? And what really struck me the other day watching it is how passive they are when they don't have the ball.
Yeah.
They just amble around, they jog back into a position and stuff. And you think, you're never going to dominate a game, are you, unless you try and win the ball back aggressively?
Yeah, I found this a really interesting game, actually. And Real Madrid, first half, I thought they were really good because they had the ball and they were dominant and Alaves were passive. We've seen teams go at Real Madrid recently, Girona, Elche, Celta, in terms of not being passive, wanting the ball, wanting to attack, wanting to play their way out the back into midfield where the space was and attack the makeshift back four that Real Madrid do have at the moment. But Alaves chose the other option. They sat deep, they were passive, they got bodies back behind the ball, similar to Osasuna against Barcelona, and they decided to play it that way. And it kind of played into the hands of Real Madrid in the first half. And it wasn't until they were behind and Alaves and they make a change. Carlos Vicente comes off the bench. And Mbappe scores a wonderful goal. And they could have had two or three in that first half. Probably should have had two or three in that first half. They've won disallowed as well, Real Madrid. And I thought they were good. But in the second half, Alaves, because they had to. They put another strike on. And they played their normal style of football. And it became much more competitive. Carlos Vicente's goal was a fantastic goal. We had some really good goals this weekend. That was one of the best. VAR looked at it, thought he was offside, but it wasn't. So they put the game back into the melting pot. And then it was much more competitive. And I think that the conclusion to take with Rodrigo, a couple of goals recently, that's a platform to start from, I think. You know, we've been talking about the midfield, the makeup of the midfield. And that right-sided attacking player, it's often been a midfield player or it's, you know, a central midfield player playing out wide in a four, but it's not a four, it's a three, but it's Gula playing wide right or Mastantuono playing wide right or Fede Valverde when they've got right backs available. But it's as a platform to start from for Xabi Alonso and Vinicius and Mbappe, Rodrigo, that's the starting point for me. And Rodrigo was getting pelters thrown at him for going 3 years and 500 games without scoring a goal. I'm exaggerating, of course. He hadn't started. He barely made a start this season.
Yeah.
But they were saying, oh, he's played 20 or 30 games and he hasn't scored. He hasn't scored since March, but he wasn't playing. And that 10 minutes here and 5 minutes there counts as an appearance against that record that's shoddy, but it isn't. And I think when you look back at Real Madrid in the last 7 or 8 years, the front three with Vinicius and Rodrigo, yes, it was Benzema before that, but Mbappe, Vinicius, Rodrigo is a platform. Then you've got to build the midfield. Tchouaméni is obviously the holding midfield player. I would suggest then Bellingham and Valverde. So that's, despite the troubles at the back, and they won't have problems at the back when they're all fit. It's going to be a while, but at least Housen came off the bench. Carreras has been good, suspended this week. So the youngster, Victor Valdepeñas, came in and did well. Valverde won't play right back every week because Alexander-Arnold will hopefully be back soon. So they're not in bad shape. And I think that platform for Xabi Alonso to build on is to play the front three. That front three, Bellingham, Valverde, Tchouaméni, the back four that I was just talking about, potential Champions League winners.
Yeah. So it really is. Bellingham and... we've had questions about this throughout the season, really, and we've never really been able to answer it. Because Bellingham... what question do you think he will do what you say?
He's forced into it now, the front three.
Yeah.
I think the fact that Rodrigo's come back in and looks in good form and scoring goals, it's obvious that is the front three.
Next question. Bellingham is a proper midfielder there. So therefore, in that, with three in midfield, if Tchouaméni's going to play quite deep, it requires the two, be it Bellingham, Valverde, Camavinga, whoever, whatever combination, they've got to work really hard as proper midfielders, haven't they? Put pressure on the ball, win the ball back, etc.
There needs to be clarity in that. And both of them can work. They're both fit as anything. They both can do it. I think Valverde's form hasn't been great because he's been shifted about from right back to midfield to central midfield to right side midfield in a four and stuff like that. But I think Xabi Alonso is blessed to be able to have that front three. And then you go, I'm going to ask Jude to play as a... It's not a question of asking Jude Bellingham to work harder. It's just changing his job. But Jude Bellingham can play as an orthodox midfielder, box-to-box, alongside Fede Valverde, who we know can play box-to-box and will have that urgency in midfield. And then they can develop the, one goes, one stays, or two goes and Tchouaméni stays. A proper midfield department, which they haven't had. But I think it has to be the front three up front. When you start fudging it with Goudeur or Bastantuono or Valverde playing higher up and playing wide on the right, this should be a platform for Xabi Alonso to... It's blatantly obvious that it should be... This should be the system. Bellingham and Valverde, your two proper midfield players. I'm sure 99% of coaches around the world would go, I'll have that. And then, and Tchouaméni is my help. Yeah, I'll have that. Take that. Oh, and I've got the front three. Yeah, that'll do. Defenders, got a fantastic goalkeeper. So it's just sometimes these changes of systems accidentally fall into place.
So where does Artigula come into all?
It doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
It's that I think Artigula's position is probably a number 10. But Bellingham has been playing there as well.
So you wouldn't play with a 10 in this?
I haven't seen a double pivot for Real Madrid either along this where we're learning how Xabi Alonso plays. You look at Barcelona, they do play a double pivot. Pedri de Jong or Pedri and Eric Garcia and then the number 10. I haven't even seen that with Real Madrid, with a number 10, whether it's Goudeur or Jude Bellingham. I haven't seen who's been the double pivot in midfield. I haven't really identified anything in midfield for Real Madrid. Whether it's a four, whether it's a three, it just needs... This system has fed into his lap. And I think he should make the most of it. As I said, those front three, the midfield three, and the good defenders, it's potentially a Champions League winning team. So it'd be interesting to see what happens in the next few games there, whether he sticks with that or we see those changes that revert back to a system that none of us were too sure about.
Right, let's do Barcelona 2, Osasuna 0, and a double for Rafinha, who scored his two goals late on and is very much back, Terry.
He was really poor in this game. and it was...
Man of the match, wasn't he?
Yeah, I must confess, I did speak to you before we did the podcast and I was reluctant to speak about it. We have a system in La Liga where, unfortunately, I was chosen in this match, which we are in most all the matches, pretty much all of them, to pick a man in a match. But we have to choose it at half time, and then we get a confirmation at 55 minutes that we confirm those selections. Then it goes to a public vote, and the public decide who man of the match is. Well, Rafinha scored in the 70th minute. He wasn't in my chosen four. And then, of course, I asked, can we change it? No, it's too late. So Lamine Yamal got the man of the match. He's waving his trophy, happy about, after the game. And I'm thinking, that's because of me. You owe me you owe me a beer next time you're in Madrid. And so it was clearly Rafinha was the star of the show up until that point. You have to kind of estimate at 0-0, you're thinking, well, who can be a potential match winner? Obviously, Lamine Yamal is one, and Rashford could be another one. Rafinha was playing poorly, and I didn't think he'd stay on the whole game, because that's been the pattern lately since his return from injury. They have been conservative with him. So I didn't even consider him. And then he goes and scores a fantastic goal, playing in that number 10 position. Then he gets a tap in at the end. And Barcelona, it was hard work. They haven't been great. They weren't great against Eintracht Frankfurt. They weren't great against Osasuna. I'm hearing Hansi Flick has fixed the defensive issues. But maybe Eric Garcia coming in instead of Frankie de Jong takes a little bit away from their attacking duties, attacking promise. Maybe Rafinha playing in the number 10, which is what we spoke about on a previous podcast, gets Rashford in on the left, Rafinha as a 10, Lamine Yamal out wide, and either Ferran Torres or Lewandowski up front. And I've come to the conclusion, I think Hansi Flick thinks that's his best front four.
Yeah.
In terms of players. But in this game, Rafinha doesn't have the influence. He's so damn good on the left. That's the problem. So in the number 10, he was in and out of the game. He had a couple of air shots. He didn't really influence the game that much until he scores the first goal. And he scores it in that position. And he's actually said he's not a fan of playing there. He still prefers to play in his position on the left. He's there for a reason, because he's sharp and he's quick and he's a fantastic footballer. But he does work hard. So, and I think it does. Rashford's playing well enough to get a place in the team. This kind of, you know, helps Hansi Flick with, that's my front four. Ferran Torres or Lewandowski up front, but it does get Rafinha, Rashford and Lamine Yamal on the team. That's, again, similar to Real Madrid, when you've got that much quality. And Danny Olmo is the other number 10, but he's rarely fit. And then the other choice is Fermin Lopez as number 10. So if you can get Rafinha in, figuring it out and playing in that number 10 position, it's a super front four.
2 weeks to January, Terry. I'm excited. should they sell Danny Olmo if they can get some money for him and try and buy some defenders?
Gerard Martin is playing the left side centre back. They conceded one against Frankfurt. They kept a clean sheet at the weekend against Osasuna. There were times Osasuna, as I said, were similar to Alaves, where they played five at the back, and it was a back five. Everybody was deep. Budimir was the only player in advanced position. Victor Muñoz was the only threat from Osasuna, because they were all so deep, and he's one of the quickest players in the league. He's a really good player as well. But he was having to run from his own penalty box and dribble past everybody and complete a 70-metre run and score. He threatened it a few times, but Eric Garcia was over there to put early stop to it. Gerard Martin and Kubasi eventually stopped him. So it was tough work for Barcelona to get past Osasuna.
Yeah.
Gerard Martin is the left-sided centre-back. I'm keeping my judgment open until they play a top team. Likewise, Eric Garcia coming in and playing as the defensive midfield player in the absence of Frankie de Jong, and now keeping Frankie de Jong out of the team. Prior to that, I was saying how fantastic the Pedri and Frankie de Jong pivot was. So Hansi Flick seems to think that Eric Garcia gives them more solidity defensively with Eric Garcia than Frankie de Jong. He says it could change, but at the moment in time, that's the consistent back four, with Gerard Martin as a left-sided centre-back, and Hansi Flick at the moment seems to think Eric Garcia is the better option than Frankie de Jong's the defensive midfielder.
There was an offside in this that confused the commentary team, Terry.
And in my defence, I've never seen it happen before. Yeah. I think I said in commentary, you rarely see that. I after the game, I'm thinking, I've never seen that. And I'm not sure if anyone else has, where the short corner routine was offside.
Yeah. So, right, we have cleaned it up, haven't we? We've looked at it. Because I couldn't see it because the liner was in the way. But there is a high angle, isn't it? The VAR. I mean, this is interesting, isn't it? So how, what length's the VAR going to find offside, to try and rule goals out?
In case anybody hasn't seen it, it's Rafinha takes a short corner to Lamine Yamal.
Yes.
Who then passes to Rafinha.
Yeah.
But when Rafinha passes to Lamine Yamal, and then Lamine Yamal touches the ball, doesn't he, and passes it, and Rafinha's heel is offside.
So, You went, obviously, if you take a short corner, if the ball goes back to the corner taker, he can't just be standing where he took the corner from, because then he's likely to be offside, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because people don't have people on the defenders on the goal line anymore.
Exactly.
And he does run out, though. That's the thing. Rafinha does run out, but...
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I know who was right there, literally blocking the view. Obviously didn't see it because it's right under his nose.
Yeah.
And fair enough. It's too close for him to see sometimes. But the VAR obviously checked a different angle that managed to avoid the assistant referee, and they were confident enough that Rafinha's had got out ever so slightly too slowly and that his boot was just trailing
the heel
in front of the ball. Yeah, yeah. So,
and what added to the confusion was there was appeared to be an obvious offside for VAR to get involved with when Ferran Torres heads the ball in the goal.
Yeah.
And it's a mild offside. But on the replay, immediately, you've seen that Antti Budimir is the last loss. As soon as defender is, it happens, centre forwards, dozy, switch off.
Yeah.
They've got a defensive mentality. Oh, everybody stepped out on the last one, and he tried to step out quickly, and it was too late. So you see immediately on the replay, he's onside. This is going to be a goal. And then it went on and on and on. And then to everyone, everyone was bewildered. The offside was given by the corner flag.
Yeah. And because we also timed it, didn't we? Because then we were wondering how long. It seemed a long time. It's 22 seconds.
Yeah.
But I don't mind that, actually, because it is the corner. They've played a short corner. And, then they have to sort of work it again before it goes in.
Rafinha has loads of touches. You think he's going to shoot. He's running across the edge of the penalty box. It's laid off. It's chipped back in. And then the goal is scored. So Osasuna don't touch the ball. So it's still the same phase of play. Ultimately, it's the correct decision. It's just something we've never seen before.
Yeah, we've seen players be offside taking a short corner before. It was just that, how forensic are you going to be?
Yeah.
Are you going to check? Because he does run out. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why it's understandable to miss it, isn't it? And to think, why is it offside again? Because it looks like he runs out to receive the short corner back.
Exactly. You see some short corners, John, where they take the short corner and his teammate just stops the ball.
Yeah.
So you're moving it sort of a yard away from the corner flag. And the same person who took the corner then can swing it in from a slightly different angle. That's probably offside in most cases.
If you're going to look that carefully, yeah.
So, but we never see that.
Maybe the VAR always do check and maybe they aren't never offside. But I don't know. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
We'll have to pay Negreira, the referee technical committee chief, another €7 million to give him a bit of advice on how to say.
What's astonishing about that is I think it's Ernesto Valverde and Xavi said they've never seen the reports.
Yeah.
That were no use to them. I trust them. I mean, it's that they're telling the truth.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is bizarre, though. How long it's going to go on for, I don't know. What the consequences are going to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
Real Madrid are really making sure that it's high up on the agenda.
Yeah.
Not else's.
Yeah.
But obviously, Real Madrid and Florentino Perez want it.
I'm going to say understandably, because your major rival is what? Paid between like 7-8 million euros for technical reports that never get showed to the coaching staff. Okay. And that's the explanation for it.
And how many years has it got on for?
It was like 17 years or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was going on for.
Yeah.
2001 to 2018 or something, I think it was.
It's bonkers.
Yeah. I'm stumped by it. I can't... If Barcelona's explanation is correct, it's still crazy.
Exactly. That's their defence.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And no wonder I went burnt through money left, right, and centre.
Yeah.
They're doing reports that cost that much money on the referee in a controversial topic, and no one ever looked at them.
Yeah. Someone just set it up in 2001 and never really thought about it again. And someone just authorised the payments, and no one in authority really knew anything about it. I suppose that's possible, given, like you say, how they burnt through money.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. we'll see what the hearing comes up with. Anyway.
My goal was payback.
They're
getting payback now.
Yeah.
But it was a tricky win for Barcelona. So, it'd be interesting to see those. Gerard Martin at left-sided centre-back, Eric Garcia instead of Frankie de Jong. How long that manages to make them look a little stronger defensively. We'll have to wait and see on that. Your question was, do they sell Dani Olmo? Do they buy a centre-back? I don't see anything happening in this transfer window.
I haven't heard of anything. There's no rumours, are there? So, yeah. Right, Atletico Madrid beat Valencia by...
Centre-back. If Christensen's not going to be involved that much.
Yeah.
Araujo's been given leave. They do need a centre-back.
Yeah. Atletico Madrid beat Valencia by 2-1. Koke and Griezmann, the scorers, in an unconvincing but important win.
Yeah, it was unconvincing. And two things, though. I think that's how Atleti are. They made hard work. They make hard work of beating teams that they should beat comfortably. It's very rare that we see them beat someone comfortably. I mean, we've seen what Barcelona did to Valencia. We've seen what Real Madrid did to Valencia this season. But there was an improved performance from Valencia. No Jose Garay, he was left out. No Javi Guerra, he was left out. And I do feel sometimes, Corbra, I mean, you look at Valencia's team, it's the same players every game. You're thinking, do they really? There are players on the bench that you've bought that you're not playing. Try something different. And he did in this game, and they were good. They were much, much more improved than the game the week before against Sevilla at home. They were better. I was inspired by Valencia's performance in this game because, I'm thoroughly miserable that we've seen a Valencia team that's struggling. But in this game, they were much better. So it's easy to say on one hand, Atleti don't ever win easy when they should. But Valencia, they were pretty good. But Beltran's goal was a cracker. He should be playing more. Grinich, they bought, he's barely played. Suddenly in the last two or three games, he's burst into action. And you look at him and thinking, well, yeah, he should be playing. And if Javi Guerra isn't playing to the standard we've seen in the past, he should be left out. Jose Gaya hasn't been particularly good. He should be left out. He was. So I think Corberan is, they came against Sevilla the week before, where they barely had an attempt on goal. Hugo Jura gets the last minute equaliser. Was a watershed where he probably thought, do you know what? I put the subs on and they livened that game up. Let's start them. Let's leave out. Let's shake things up. And they're good. So Koke gets the opener. Beltran gets an equaliser, and you're thinking, oh, this is it. If Atleti don't win this, that's the title race is done. It's going to be hard for them anyway. And then there's a day of the veterans. The veteran Koke gets the opener, Griezmann comes off, and he gets a great goal.
Lovely.
All 3 points, no drama.
Yes. Excellent. Right. There's no drama in a couple of games yet to come, but no, in a bad way. But Mallorca, let's have a quick chat about Mallorca. You've been critical of Mallorca this season, Terry, for obvious reasons. So a real an important win, wasn't it? The Marici goal, which was a really good goal. That was the third, wasn't it? And they really celebrated. That was a sign of a team that's been feeling the pressure, wasn't it? How much they celebrated.
Oh, totally. All three goals were good. I love the finish from Manuel Melanes. He creates an opening and good build-up play. He could have just hit it. You're expecting him to drive it with the laces towards the far post, but he just whips it in the other corner. That was a great goal. Omar Mascaré took advantage of Iñaki Peña, thinking he was Franz Beckenbauer, for our older listeners. He's an old German sweeper that used to play. Iñaki Peña, Elche played this way. He was brought up playing like this at Barcelona. He's normally pretty good at it. He is literally playing as the third centre-back, isn't he, when they've got possession of the ball. And he plays a ball into midfield, which is intercepted, and it's obvious. Omar Mascaré has to chip the goalkeeper from 50 metres. and he does extremely well. There's no chance for Iñaki Peña to get back. It's a long range attempt, but it's not a driven finish. Like we do see halfway line attempts, don't we? And they're successful. This was a definite chip from Mascherano. And then the build up and the thumping header from Marici just sealed the points. Bizarre own goal from Pablo Maffi, I have to say. And there was 199 things he could have done, and he chose just to side foot it in the bottom corner. There was no one behind him. He just panicked and side foot finished. So that was the own goal that made it 1-1. So that increases the tension. But three good goals from Miurka. So, yeah, you're right on that. They celebrated wildly when Marici scored. It was a great goal to celebrate, and it also wrapped up the points in the dire moments that gave them the two-goal advantage, and that was the winning moment in the game. So I've been critical, Miurka, because they should be better.
Yes. If they'd lost that game, they'd be in the relegation zone. So that's so important. It wasn't. Yeah. Instead, they are up to 14th. That's how close it is. It's not close to the bottom two, is it? Levante, 9, played 15. And then Oviedo played 16, have 10 points. And then it goes, then it jumps to 15. So it's Girona, 15, Valencia, 15, Osasuna, 15, Real Sociedad, 16, Mallorca, 17, Rayo Vallecano, 18, Alaves, 18. So it's very, very close in the bottom half, isn't it? So we've got a couple of games left to do. Getafe, 0. Espanyol, 1. I mean, Espanyol are fifth, aren't they? You know, it's impressive, isn't it?
Every week you're thinking, they won't win this, they won't win this, they won't win this, and they keep winning. They've got their way of doing things. It was never going to be a blinding game, this one. But Espanyol get the win again. Set piece, Cabrera with a header. I think 30 points. I mean, it's... Their obvious intention at the start of the season was to finish higher up than last season, but they just avoided relegation. They were involved in the relegation battle. They were newly promoted last season. This season, they're exceeding all expectations. So Manolo Gonzalez I still have this feeling with Espanyol that how long can this last before they bottom out? But at 30 points after 16 games, it shouldn't be a problem. There will be a period in the season where they don't keep winning. They're getting favourable results in close games. It always goes like 1-0, 2-1. It always goes the way of Espanyol. So, brilliant. And manager of the season so far, I would say, Manolo Gonzalez.
The
resources that he's got, where they finished last season, how long he's been in management, the opportunity he's been given to be in this fifth with 30 points. His story of the season in La Liga.
One thing that really occurred to me, tell me if you think I'm wrong. When Leandro Cabrera scores that goal, they're all very happy for him. One of his team, I can't remember who it was, slaps him in the face 7 times. And I think, why? I don't want people I'd stop scoring goals if my teammates are going to come and slap me in the face to celebrate with me. So, but I might be wrong. You all might think it's a perfectly great thing to
do. No, I agree with you.
Yeah. I think it's odd.
Two or three. After that, I'll be
getting the ump. It's an odd thing to... Oh, I'm really happy with you. Well done, Leandro. Slap, slap, slap. Endlessly slapping him in the face. We didn't wait for this. We waited because I was doing something else yesterday. But so we didn't hang around for Rayo Vallecano nil Betis nil. I'm glad we didn't.
Rayo scored twice in the last 2 goals in the last 7 matches.
And
also out of nowhere, you're looking and thinking, Neil scored in this one, didn't score in that one, didn't score in that one, didn't score. It's a problem.
Yeah.
And they had three players. We've seen the free kick from Florian Lejeune from long distance. It's pushed out by Valles, probably should have done better, but he parries it. 3 Rayo Vallecano players, somehow between the three of them, managed to put each other off.
It was a foul. One Rayo player on another, isn't it? And ends up sort of trickling into the goalkeeper's hands again, doesn't it?
In the race, there's Pathé Cisse, it was Isi Palazon, there's Alvaro, all three converging on the ball.
There's definitely a penalty in there.
Bowling each other, kicking the ball against each other's heads, and the Valles just getting another hand to it just to make it more confusing. So they hit the post. They went close on other occasions. They were unlucky. They should have won. They should have beat Betis. But Betis are falling, you know, just dropping off the pace now. I mean, 5 points behind Espanyol. Out of nowhere, that's happened. Mm. And you were talking about Villarreal. Miles ahead of Betis now.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of an issue for Betis. Stop, start, drawing games and stuff like that. Lost to Barcelona, of course. So, yeah, they do need to improve. And Isco's still not fit. I'm sure he'll make a difference. And he needs to. Betis just dropping off the pace now.
Mm. Yes. Right, that's it. They're the nine games we're going to talk about. There's some Copa del Rey this week. We'll be back with another conversation about Spanish football very soon. So thank you, everybody, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye.
It's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.